Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodhi and I am your host, and we have a very special episode. Just like in the 80s when Webster or Facts of Life or Different Strokes, when they had a very special episode, it's the same exact thing, except for it's nothing like that because we're not going to talk about any sort of social issues. And almost everything we have to say has pretty much zero redeeming value. So, yeah. So who's my special guest today? My guest host today is Jessica Kirsch. Now, if you don't know who she is, you should go to youtube.com/ Jessica, standard spelling, and then Kirsch, K-I-R-S-H. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn this stupid podcast off, and then I would like you to go to YouTube. I want you to visit her page, and I want you to watch some videos so you kind of get an idea of who she is. Honestly, she's delightful and hilarious and really easygoing. We sat down and we literally talked for 2.5 hours, which was extraordinarily generous of her to give me that much of her time. We only recorded about 1.5 hours of it, though. The first 1.5 hours, we were just kind of kicking around ideas and chatting. But it was really delightful and super pleasant. It made my day, to be honest with you. Just so you know, this is a little bit longer of an episode. Over an hour for this little chat that we did. So I want to jump into some things real quick, and then we will get right into the show. But before we do that, I want to talk about our Patreon supporter of the week, and that is Alex. I am not going to lie to you and say that I get a ton of emails a week. I get quite a few emails a week from listeners, but it's not a ton. It's not like overwhelming. When I get an email from certain listeners, I get excited because I know there's going to be a nugget in there. I know that I'm going to come away knowing more or understanding more about the world or the subject than before I opened up the email. And Alex is one of those listeners. One of the pleasures of doing this show is getting to know so many people. Now, if you listen to the show or even support the show, you're under no obligation to communicate with me. That is completely up to you. But I am here if you want to, and I love it when I get to interact with Alex. He keeps me on my toes, and honestly, his insights make this podcast better. I don't probably always give credit where credit is due, but Alex is one of those people that makes the show better just from emailing in and sharing their opinion. And I'm going to give you an example of that. Last week, I talked about the Rosenbauer Volvo EV fire truck. And I said that it's a non-starter. Well, two people contacted me. One was Alex, and he said, you know, it might not be so bad if it can charge like 100 miles in 30 minutes. And that is a very valid point that I hadn't considered. And then also Dawn, who's also a Patreon supporter, she contacted me on Slack, and she said, you know, in Europe, governmental agencies have to explore eco-friendly solutions, even if they cost more money. So that's something I had not thought of. And then when you consider that the Rosenbauer EV fire truck looks an awful lot like a European fire truck, that makes more sense. And that's a very valid and good point. The entire time that I discussed that article, I was discussing that with my biases. And that is a bias of an American firefighter who didn't consider what's going on outside, not even necessarily my country, but my state and my city. And this is just another example of why you guys make me better and make this show better. All right, that's enough of my nonsense. Let's jump right into the show with Jessica Kirsch. Jessica, thank you very much for being on the show, and welcome to Kilowatt.
Thank you for having me.
So we had like an hour-long conversation before the show. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, as we go through this, we'll be able to restate those really epic and profound thoughts that we shared with each other before the show.
Epic.
Yeah, they were amazing.
So good.
So amazing.
Stand by for awesomeness.
You know what? I will say this publicly in front of God and everybody. You're a delightful person to talk to, very easy to chat with. So I'm looking forward to doing this. You want to talk about the Lucid Air?
Let's do it.
Okay. This morning I got an email from Lucid Motors touting their mid-range 406 projected mile range Lucid Air. It's got 480 horsepower, single motor or dual motor if you want to pay a little bit more money. DC fast charging. If you put down $300 right now, you will get 3 years of free charging from Electrify America. So all you have to do is commit to buying a $77,400 vehicle with a $300 reservation, and you'll be able to drive 406 projected miles. It seems like a lot of money. And $300, it seems like a weird reservation number. Like, why not just say $100?
And why is it not 500 or 1,000?
That's a very good point. So what are your, we chatted about this a little bit, and you're familiar with Lucid. So what are your thoughts on Lucid in general? And then what are your thoughts on this new mid-range tier?
Lucid is a very exciting company. It's always good to have another competitor in the EV space. So it's very exciting to have their factory here in Arizona in Casa Grande, or Casa Grande, I like to say. Other people don't. I'm excited about them. I think that their unveil of the, is it, you said the Platinum? What was their top of the line?
That's the Dream Edition.
The dream edition, because that's all it would be for me, is a dream. That was really cool to see, and very fantasy-esque. But the fact that it's starting at 77.4, that is a little bit more affordable, but it's a luxury sedan.
Yeah, I mean, in the world of EVs, you have to adjust what your idea of affordable is. You know, in many cases, most people wouldn't find a $37,500 Model 3 affordable. So, I mean, we're working on a scale, I guess.
My theory is it's better to overprice them and come down than underprice them and go up, you know.
That's a good point, because, you know, remember last summer Tesla was having some pricing issues, and mm-hmm. they were, 1 week it would be down, next week it would be up.
Yeah.
I think they made a lot of people frustrated at the very least, especially when you bought it at the high number and then they reduced it and they wouldn't reduce the price.
Right. I would be very frustrated if I paid a lot more money and then it was lowered. But on the other side of that, it's like a sale. It went on sale, you know, special Black Friday edition, or, you know.
But yeah, it's like a sale from the company that says, no, we're going to price this the same and everybody pays the same price.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what leaves the taste.
Yeah. On that same topic, the Cybertruck as a reservation holder, what did he announce the price was?
We're looking at the one that I picked out is the $50,000 mid-tier, but the base price is $40,000.
$40,000, that's right. Do you think that he'll meet that?
It kind of sounds like it with the 4680 battery. That mm-hmm. sounds like, and the whole way that they're going to construct that, it sounds like they'll be able to come close. I don't have any idea what it costs to build a car. I don't even really know what components are in a car. Like, I have to have somebody change my, I know how to change my own oil, but mm-hmm. honestly, it's not a good idea for me to do it.
It's not very fun. I'll be honest. It's not very
fun. Yeah, I went to say a friend of mine was a mechanic, and I worked with him, and he was like, let's just change your brakes out. I'll save you a ton of money. I was like, okay, cool. So we changed my brakes out. And then we drive, my wife and kid, and we drive to Monterey. Mm-hmm. We're cruising around Monterey. Somebody pulls me over, and I'm expected, like somebody's like flashing their lights, and I'm expected, I was like, did I do something to cut this person off? Are we going to go? Like, I don't like to, I'm not a fighter. Mm-hmm. I was like, is this going to go really poorly for us? And he's like, your car's on fire. When I got out of the car, because I got out of the car fast, you know, like I was like, this guy is not going to catch me unaware. So I got out of the car fast and aggressive. He's like, your car's on fire. And I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And the brakes that we had changed, one of the brakes had hung up. So this thing that cost probably $100, $150 initially ended up costing me over $1,000 to fix the messed up brake. So after that, I'm just like, you know, it's just cheaper to pay somebody else to do it because I don't have the skills.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I don't blame my friend because, you know, whatever, maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we didn't. Maybe it was just a default part. But yeah. I was like, after that, I was like, I'm just not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
The saving the money isn't worth it.
Right.
Because I wasted 2 days of my vacation sitting around a brake shop waiting for those guys to get done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And on top of that, it was a Volkswagen, so everything's more expensive.
Oh, yeah. I had a Jetta.
Me too.
Yeah. I loved it. It was a lease. When I turned it in, I was really sad. I was crying, I remember. But now I have my Kona, and I've done 3 oil changes on my own with it. And the very first one, I had a friend walk me through it who was on FaceTime and in North Carolina. And he walked me through it, you know, got down to like almost the very end. And then, or it was the second time, excuse me. Second time I was doing it at a friend's, and I didn't realize that you could pour too much oil in a car. And I filmed it, posted it on YouTube. And one of my subscribers thankfully was like, hey, you might want to go have some of that oil extracted. Cause I was like, I'm just going to pour until it starts bubbling up. So, thankfully, as far as I know, there wasn't any lasting damage, but thankfully for YouTube and somebody actually watching it to the end of the video.
Do you want to talk about something really controversial?
Sure.
Okay.
I will speak up if I'm not okay with it.
Okay. So the new Model 3, or excuse me, the 2021 Model 3 has a new look. And according to my non-scientific research, half the people love it, half the people hate it, and half the people are indifferent. So did you get to see the pictures?
I did not. I did not see the pictures.
It is a matte finish instead of the shiny piano black finish.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. In the console area. So let me pull that up for you.
In the console. Okay.
And I'll send you the thing in the chat. But yeah, okay. So last week we talked about this as kind of a follow-up, how Tesla was doing some updates to the Model 3. Currently, if you buy a Model 3, you're going to get that piano shiny finish. I don't know what it's necessarily
fingerprint finish, you mean?
Yeah. Well, I have 8-year-olds. And even though my 8-year-olds don't come up to the front of the car, they will figure out how to put fingerprints everywhere.
Yeah.
I just cleaned out my car yesterday, and I was just like, how did these things get in here?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a person who touches everything, so I would have elbow prints all over it. Let's see.
Yeah. Yeah, no, even our 24-year-old Sierra, she could have chocolate in her hands and she's touching everything.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why you would.
You explore with your fingers. Just saying. I'm a tactile learner, as a visual learner. I know. Same. Oh, okay.
So I think it's a good look.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's not shocking to me. I was expecting maybe like a checkerboard or something like crazy controversial. No, I love it.
No, it's very understated. And
yeah,
I really
simplistic.
Like in the Model Y, and I don't know about the Model 3, but in the Model Y that we got the other day, when you open up the little console area, mm-hmm. there's like you just push down, but it's at the front of the car. So mm-hmm. it opens towards you. Mm-hmm. And it kind of hides. So it's not like it's in the way, but it's a very weird spot. This one, the way to open up that console area is closer to where the cup holders are, which feels like it would be more natural to open it that way. But I think this is a really good look. But Twitter, on the other hand, has different opinions.
Twitter was, I saw back and forth going, but normally if it's something specific to a particular vehicle, Tesla vehicle, I kind of tune it out just because I'm not an owner and it's not particularly relevant for me at that time. Like the stock price, I like to hear about, you know, and new and upcoming things. But if it's like the center console, is this... So this whole design is different, or is it just a matte finish rather than a chrome or
it shiny? Looks like based on the pictures, it's a little different than what was offered previous, but I think it's just like an incremental improvement type thing. I don't think it's, I can look up my notes from last week, but I think there was something more about like there was going to be a heated charger port. In the Model 3, like there is in the Model Y. So folks in colder climates can charge their vehicle without ice being around the charging port.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, no, it's really smart. Really smart.
I would expect changes. You know, the Model 3 was released 2013?
Oh, no, you're right. 2017. That was modeled. I think they were pushing them out the summer of 2017.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's really not been around for all that long. I like it. It's minimalistic. What else, you know, the inside of a Tesla is completely minimalistic.
Yeah.
You know, with everything else, people, when something's new or different, it takes acclimation for some. For example, the Solo car. I don't love it. It's not for everyone, but I could see once they start driving around, people will be like, oh, yeah, I like that. Same with the Cybertruck. People were indifferent. Or loved or hated it. Now everyone has accepted. Not everyone.
Yeah. So even the Solo, for those that don't know, is a three-wheel vehicle, two wheels in the front, one in the back. And there's only enough space for one person to sit in it. And it's a really cool looking car. But it's also, it also looks like something or feels like something that if you were to get hit by a sizable vehicle,
gone.
They're not going to find you.
No. Crushed.
I mean, I don't want to be morbid, but I've literally cut dead people away from cars. That's all I see when I see that car. It's a beautiful car. I want it to succeed. Mm-hmm. But when I see that car, I'm like, like sometimes you, it, from that standpoint, I don't I don't want to be too morbid.
No, that's actually a really
normal for
great statement.
Doesn't translate well to regular folk, but it's a horrific experience to cut somebody away from a car. Not cut somebody out of a car, because that's a different. Cut somebody away from a car, like unmolding the car from the person. It's that's all I see when I see the Solo. And I also see a really beautiful car, but
yeah,
did I take it too dark?
No. I'm glad that you said that, because having visited it the other day, my biggest concern was that it has no airbags and there's not much protecting you at all. And the leg space is really great. I'm 5'10", so I fit. But you get hit and it's like my legs are gone. Not only my legs, but I probably won't survive. It's you registered as a motorcycle in the United States.
It's not even good, so they don't have to have any of that stuff.
No. That's my biggest concern. And then you saying that, think about on the highway and, you know, Arizona drivers.
Yeah.
Just in and out of lanes, not looking, just texting and driving, you know. I'm not perfect. I'm guilty of it.
It's very common in Arizona.
Yeah.
To have somebody driving 70 some miles an hour and you look over and they are looking down and not at the road.
And in the center of the lane next to them. Or like the on the line. It's like
or
choose a lane.
Somebody has approximately 15 feet to get over four lanes of traffic in busy in rush hour traffic. And they do. They do it.
Yeah. They do it.
Yeah.
They don't care if you're going 70, you know, they just bark.
Nope.
Gotta have those brakes.
Yeah. The
or autopilot.
Or autopilot.
That's a dream.
So I looked up what the other features of the Model 3 were. Mm-hmm. So the option for Chrome Delete, this is according to rumor, so powered trunk gate, which the Model 3 doesn't have, which
That's interesting.
I think would be really nice for some updated upholstery, that matte center console that we talked about, and then double insulated pane windows that reduce road noise.
Okay. So
I think those are all good upgrades.
Those are great upgrades. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the white interior?
Love it.
It looks so good, doesn't it?
You shouldn't have any other interior.
Sexy. However,
gone.
Dark jeans. You gotta have a towel.
Really?
Yeah, the dye transfer.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah. I don't wear jeans, so I don't know that.
Oh,
Yeah. Well, it's in Arizona. I wear shorts constantly. Do you think it would just be dark shorts, or is it specific to jeans?
Anything that has dye in it.
Oh no!
I've read that. And any kind of dirt. I'm a hiker, a biker, not really a biker, more of a hiker, rock climber. And when I get in my car, I'm sweaty and dirty, and I would be taking a magic clean eraser to it like every other day. But it's beautiful. I mean, drool emoji, beautiful.
You can't tell, but Jessica is literally slobbering on
camera. Slobbering. Like the it's running down my face. It's so sexy.
It is. I didn't think about that. And I have two kids, and I'd heard that in general they hold up, the seats hold up really well. However, it's not the seat's fault that dye gets transferred to it at all.
Nope.
That's concerning. Because I don't want black seats in Arizona.
Right. And that was my first thought, too. But the black seats are also $1,000 more, I believe.
And the white seats are $1,000 more.
Pretty sure it's not. Is it? Look it up.
The white paint is now the standard. And that used to be $1,000 more. I'll look it up, though.
Yeah, look it up. Because I remember being like, why would that B.
Let's build a Model 3.
Build a Model 3. Yeah. I haven't built one in a long time. Maybe I'll build one alongside you.
I'm going to choose the Standard Range Plus because I am price sensitive. So the exterior is the white paints included, the arrow wheels, which I don't love the arrow wheels. If I'm being
honest. I think they're ugly. I think they look cheap. They look like hubcaps.
Yeah, no, they're disgusting. But on the other side, I also don't want to. I don't want to pay another $1,500 for fancy wheels and then more expensive tires. So I'll just figure out how to take that plastic thing off and put something else on. So when you select interior, it is $1,000 for the white.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I was wrong.
That's okay.
I thought it was very strange that it would be that way. $1,000 for the white.
Also, if you go to the site, you can see the piano finish. Let's the better from for the Model 3.
Oh, yeah, no. Mm-mm. No.
Yeah,
here's why. We live in the desert.
Yeah.
That's it. No. That's all you have to say. Desert.
Yeah, if you live in a place that isn't the desert, you can have your house completely sealed up. You can change the filters in your air conditioner, and you're still going to have a crap ton of dust in your house.
Like once a week.
Yeah. No way around it. It just happens.
Everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah. Every crevice. My keyboard. You know, like I'm blowing it off all the time. It's insane.
Yeah. We have these things called haboobs. If you don't know, it's a giant dust storm that goes up hundreds if not thousands of feet in the air, and it's a wall of dust that encapsulates the entire city or metropolitan area.
Yeah, it's not. It's apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Apocalyptic.
So where our house is now, not to give too much information away, but where our house is now, it's close to where the 101 is. So the haboob will come up the 101.
Yep.
Because there's nothing there to stop it. It comes straight up the 101 and dumps dust in my house, in my backyard, in my house.
Oh, yeah. And then you're breathing it. Mm-hmm. Not that, you know, there's a lot of upsides by Arizona, but the desert dust. Yeah, no, that gloss finish. No, thank you. Mm-mm. Yeah. Nope.
I'm on your side.
I now understand why. Is it Tasmanian and a bunch of other third-party accessory companies sell center console wraps?
Yeah. Yeah. I think do you know Nick Howard?
Yeah.
I think he Black did Lives some wraps on his. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's such a sweet guy.
He's so sweet.
Yeah. So he, I think he wrapped his on his new Tesla that he just got.
Good for him. That's cool.
All right. Well, that was not as controversial as I thought. I'm glad we're in agreement on the matte finish.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to talk about something maybe just as controversial?
Yes.
Spoiler, none of these things are that controversial.
Okay. You build it up. The anticipation, I'm like, yeah.
I have in real life, I have a very forthright way of talking about things that doesn't go so well, translate so well on podcasts. And occasionally I'll slip into that and then I'll get taken down a notch or three. Like I literally said, I don't care about Tesla's stock price, which I don't because this is not a stock podcast. This is a technology podcast about Tesla. And I've received more emails about that one comment than any other. I have received an email like 2 or 3 days ago about that comment, and that was said months ago. And you know what? I'm not going to say anybody's wrong because everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I was like, oh, got to rein that stuff in. Got to rein it in. I mean, but I like having the discussion, so it's okay.
You know, having a YouTube channel, do you post this on YouTube?
I don't because I don't want to deal with people.
What are you doing, Bodhi? Yeah, here's the thing.
Right, go ahead.
Everyone has, not everyone. My theory on the internet is it's a place where people come for subconscious therapy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll have comments on my videos, you know, that are completely just ridiculous. I mean, in my opinion, completely unrelated to the video, you know, like just point, just they'll take something about me or my outfit or whatever and just, and I just have to remind myself they had a bad day and I'm the punching bag. And that's not my problem. You know, I'm just doing me, Jessica Kirsch, and it's their choice to come to my channel. I'm not, you know, like clickbaiting people. Like it's their choice to be there. And so with the comment section over time, I've learned that if somebody says something negative, I will like the comment. Okay. And then I'll say, thank you for your comment or thank you for your feedback with the emoji, like thank you hands. And then they'll like my comment and then they'll subscribe because they just wanted to be heard. It's, you know, like they just want to be heard. And I get that. That's why I'm on YouTube. I want to be heard, you know?
For sure. And to clarify, I absolutely have, I welcome people holding me accountable and even sharing their opinions that aren't mine, because we live in a world today where you can't share your feelings without being shouted down if it's unpopular. I don't think right. that's right. So I am totally okay with it. And I've only had maybe two actual emails that were just like, you are absolute garbage. And to that, I just respond back to, hey, I'm new at this. I have a stutter and I'm an introvert. I'm sorry that it didn't work out for you. And then usually those people will say, oh, I'll give it another try. So
there we go.
But everybody else, it's all done out of, I think I try to keep a very family oriented podcast, not like so much family friendly, but like everybody's a part of this. We're all part of this good, big community. And that's where I look at it. And it doesn't matter if you're on YouTube, but we're a part of this EV community that we love so much. And so there's a lot to get to bind us together. So when somebody emails me and they have a different opinion, none of that bothers me. And even if they email me and they tell me I'm wrong, none of that bothers me. I just don't want to open up the floodgates of the YouTube comments. Cause I will most likely never read them because I don't care. Right.
Or you won't even know.
Yeah. But,
I mean, unless somebody sends you a link, like, hey. But in my opinion, you don't seem like the kind of person that someone would be like, oh, that was wrong. Like, rah, rah, you know?
Oh, no, you'd be surprised. And it's okay.
In my opinion.
Like, I love, I wouldn't say heated, but I love talking to people that I don't agree with because it is
discussion.
It's discussion, and I learn things. Even if I don't agree at the end, I learn tons. So if you have something you want to say to me, please say it. Everybody, not Jessica. Or if you do. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're really good at interrupting one another.
No, I think we need to be professionals.
What?
Professionals at interrupting one another.
Oh, yeah. Pros.
Yeah,
interrupting pro. I can see that being a new microphone name here shortly. But think about Elon and how much you're crazy, like never going to happen, blah, blah, blah. He had to deal with in order to push all of his companies forward, but specifically Tesla. Think about it. You know, all of the differences in opinion, the oil industry will never go out, like all of that. I just
and
love
to be
it.
Clear, Elon is crazy. Like,
well,
I mean, he's very smart, and
it
comes across to normal people or us folks that maybe aren't quite as smart as being out there or crazy. But you know, he does have his moments where you're like, "What the hell are you thinking, dude?" I don't understand. But on the other side, like everybody, and this is what I tried to say about everyone in the world, whether you're talking about Donald Trump or you're and you hate him or you love him or whatever, whoever you're discussing, like everybody's a person.
Yeah.
Everybody has good points and bad points. Some people's points or attributes are better than others. But there's no pure evil person. Yeah. I mean, you take two people and you look at one specific, you take two different people and look at one specific person, they're going to have widely different opinions or could. And that's okay.
That's what makes us the earth habitable with humans. I mean, if we all, have you ever seen the 1987 Apple advertisement? Oh,
yeah.
Where it's 84. Just robots. Yeah, 84. We studied it in school. And
I watched it live at the Super Bowl.
That's how old really?
I am. But go ahead. Well, no, I wasn't like live at the Super Bowl. I mean, I was like alive when it was on TV during the Super Bowl.
Ad, if anybody hasn't seen it, watch it. It was like the introduction of the Apple computer, Steve Jobs, and it's brilliant, but it's a room of robots, or it was very, is it Nazi themed or something where everyone thinks the same?
This dystopian future where everybody's the same, yes.
Yes. And
this, like, I don't know, Amazon-esque woman comes through and just smashes everything.
She throws like a dagger or something at the video screen and it just explodes. And then it says, introducing the Apple computer. And did it say think different?
It was the Mac and it was think different.
Yeah. Like, because everybody was PC, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what? Who is this rainbow logo Apple? Like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? It's the same thing with Elon, you know? Who is this guy? Who, like, has an unveiling of a truck, breaks the window, the glass, and, like, makes t-shirts out of it? Official Tesla t-shirts, you know?
Yeah.
Elon, he does. Elon says, if you're not failing, then you're not innovating. And he's right.
Yeah, I'm innovating constantly if you go by that metric.
Think about boat owners who forget to put the drain plug back in and they put their boat in the water and it sinks.
Yeah, or they forget to set their parking brake and they just put their brand new pickup truck in the water.
Right. There's tons of fail videos of that here in Arizona, Lake Pleasant. You should check them out. Just saying.
Yeah. I think by and large, people in Arizona are really nice.
They are. Are you a native?
No, I'm from Alaska.
You are?
Uh-huh. Wow.
That's cool. What brought you to Arizona?
My wife and I dated in high school and then she went to college. So I followed her to go to college. And then we got married and she went to more college and then she got a job. And I just kind of continued to follow her south.
Aw, high school sweethearts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so cute. What's that like?
Whoa. you know, my wife and I have been together for close to 30 years, 27 years, something like that. Wow. Like I've been with my wife longer than people that I work with that are much older than me have been with their spouses.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, no, it's neat. So there's no other person that I want to hang out with for the rest of my life. So, problems. Like, don't want to make it sound like it's perfect. But
that statement, like, I want that. I want somebody to say that about me. You know, like, there's no other person.
I irritate the crap out of my wife. So
yeah, I'm a pain in the butt, but like, you know, most of the time it'll be entertaining.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of laughing, maybe a little bit of crying, but mostly laughing. But yeah.
Should we continue on with the
I don't
notes?
Know. Are you from Arizona before we go too far?
I'm from Indiana, Midwest. Mm-hmm. People in Arizona call it a flyover state.
Yeah.
I disagree, but that's okay.
I've never been to Indiana, but I've been to the flyover states, and they're pretty amazing. Let's talk about Sandy Monroe.
All right, Sandy Monroe, one of my faves.
If anybody is curious, this is pretty much how our pre-show went, is long discussions. We've been on for hour and 45 minutes together, and I think it's going very well. All right. So Sandy Monroe spoke at a virtual event for Bernstein Research, which I don't know if that's the financial Bernstein. I would imagine that it is. The event was private, so the Korea Times somehow obtained a fully edited transcript. I was not able to read the transcript. I don't know if you could find the transcript. But here's what we know.
The Googs might know.
You know, I went to the article and they didn't even post a link to the transcript in the article, so I don't know if it's supposed to be secret.
I'm assuming it was a video recording that somebody sent to rev.com and had it transcribed.
Oh,
that's my basic assumption.
That's actually
just pretty smart, because you can, you know.
Yeah, no, Rev's a good resource. So I'm guessing that we can find the transcript. But in any event, there were two statements that he made that made headlines. The first is Sandy Monroe doesn't think that Tesla should make a $25,000 EV. And the second is that Tesla is 10 years ahead of their competitors. So we're going to start with the $25,000 EV and why he doesn't think that's a good idea for Tesla. So he posits that shareholders would regret a more affordable Tesla because it would have a negative impact on Tesla's market positioning and then also their profits because the margins wouldn't be as good. Shareholders wouldn't like it because of potential production complications and low profit margins, which is kind of what we talked about there. And he doubts that Tesla could sell a vehicle under $32,000 that would make a profit. So, and then this last little bit, you know, I want to add something real quick. At one point, they were, when the Model 3 was going through production hell, they talked about how after it was all said and done, they thought the Model 3's cost to build was $29,000. That was, what did we say, 3 years ago?
Yeah, 2017.
So I would guess that they could build a vehicle under $32,000 and still make a profit, just kind of based on that information. But anyway, he went on to say that Tesla owners want all the bells and whistles, and there's so much that Tesla owners didn't want to sell the standard range Model 3, or they even canceled the standard range Model Y. So, and people who can't afford the current range of Tesla products would be more sensitive to things like suspension flaws and quality issues. So now, having said all of that, what are your thoughts on Tesla not doing a $25,000 car based on this information, or just what are your thoughts in general?
My dream-like thought is, please do one. Please make it happen. Do it, please. That would be amazing. However, $25,000 MSRP. That doesn't include the delivery fee, taxes, registration. And in Arizona, I don't know from your experience, but my registration was $500 for 1 year. You have to think about those costs as well. I don't know. That's a very low price. Very low price. And I do think that they could produce it for, I don't know, especially with the casting machines that are in Giga Berlin. Is it Giga Berlin?
There's a rear casting machine at Fremont, but Giga Berlin will have the front and the rear.
But then there's the transportation from Germany to the United States, the shipping and the, you know, the freight and all of that. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think they would end up building it at another location if they did it in the US.
Yeah, maybe Austin.
Maybe. Yeah, they just bought a bunch more land.
Yeah. I think it would be very cool. But I do have concerns because Tesla, in my opinion, is a what Mercedes-Benz used to be. Like the luxury, you know, like beautiful. And if you drive a Tesla, it's like kind of a, and I'd, maybe it's not, but like, not really a status symbol, but like, it's a movement. It's a, you know, it's an environmental thing. It's, what am I trying to say?
You have cachet if you own a Tesla. Like,
it just,
they're still rare enough where people are like, ooh, that's a Tesla.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Sentry Mode records people that walk by cars, and people will have just film reels of people taking selfies next to it. Like, yeah. It's a Tesla. And I do the same thing. I'm like, ooh, yeah. Like, think about when the Cybertruck's released. I mean, yeah. I will drive out of my way to come home, put the shirt on, and go stand next to one the first time I see it. Just saying.
Yeah.
So I think that it will open the door to a obviously a much broader market, but then there's, you know, like people whom, I don't know, will buy their 16-year-olds the $25,000 Tesla. You know, what about charging? If so many more people can afford this vehicle, are you going to have to like social distance with your car, you know, stand in a line? There's already trouble charging.
Yeah. No, that's the charging thing I didn't think about. And that's a very valid point. Because right now, what was it? They sold like 100,000 Model Ys and Model 3s last quarter, and then 139,000 total, something like that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a very valid point. And they are definitely behind on that. On the other side, Tesla's stock, I want Tesla to do well as a company, but how their stock does in my personal life or what I want out of the company or want back from the company has very little to do with it. So, having said that, there are people who want to own a Tesla. There are people who can't own even a used Tesla because right. they're still looking at paying at best. Maybe you're looking at paying $32,000 for a Model 3. And that would be like an amazing deal.
Yeah.
They're still selling very high.
The used ones are rarely available. They're being purchased by Tesla for autonomous taxis, right?
Yeah.
Autonomous Uber.
And they're being like Nick Howard, who we talked about before, mm-hmm. he had to fly to like, was it like Chicago or something like that and drive his back?
Yeah, I could see that.
Simply because that was the one he wanted and that's where it was. So he and his dad flew out, they bought it and he drove it home and his dad flew back like in a pandemic. Like mm-hmm. I'm sure that, and he lives in a relatively populated place, and I think it was like North Carolina or something like that, or Georgia. I think he lives in Georgia. So there's enough demand, but not everybody can do that. And I would like to see everybody who wants a model, whatever it's going to be, a model cheap or affordable. Call it a model affordable.
Yeah. I've heard model two, model dose, model.
Yeah. I think they're going to have something more clever than that, but, I think people really want to be a part of it. And if you price them out of that, they can't be a part of it. And then Tesla's mission is to transition the world to sustainable vehicles. You can't transition the world to sustainable vehicles with a $35,000 car. And he mentions in here that Tesla's $35,000 car hasn't done great. And that's because you have to go to a seedy alley in the back of a luxury mall to purchase this thing. Like you can't just buy it online. And I recycled that joke from last episode. So
okay.
I didn't just come up with it off the top of my head. But I want more people to be able to afford EVs. And the only way that they're going to do that is if Tesla pushes they had to push the luxury market into it. Now they're going to have to push everybody else into it.
Yeah.
Because even the Kona Electric, I think, is still like $30,000, $40,000.
It's very expensive. It was out of my price range. I'm a Kona Ice, although I feel shame for it, but Kona Ice driver, because that, and it wasn't available for sale in Arizona. But
yeah,
and then there's the thing about gas stations and the conversion from gasoline pumps to the electrification of those. That might happen quickly.
It's infrastructure in Canada. I think it's Petrol Canada. James, I'm sure we'll correct this, but
good job, Canada.
Yeah, yay. Canada. There's a specific oil company in Canada that's putting chargers, like 2, 3, 4 chargers at every gas station that they own.
It's about time.
A lot of them. Yeah. Yeah. And they've been doing it for a couple of years. And I only know about this because James at True North EVs tells me this stuff. But
yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And that's when that happens here, which it may already be happening. I don't know. Elon's got lots of tricks up his sleeve, you know? It could be as simple as just battery packs delivered to a gas station until it's completely converted over to electric, you know? Or maybe they have one diesel, one gas or something.
You mean like Neo? Like, are you familiar with Neo?
No.
Okay, it's an amazing, look up all the videos on Neo. They have this little cute little like personal assistant that sits up on your dash and it talks to you and it makes facial expressions. But it's a Chinese company.
Okay.
Hopefully they have an office in San Jose. That's mm-hmm. where I think a lot of their tech is written. The underpinnings of the tech is written for that particular car. But they have a battery swap station, and they've done over 1 million battery swaps. So you just pull into the little garage, it lifts you, it takes the battery out, puts a new battery in, you're out. It's like 5-10 minutes and you're done. And Tesla, I know, tried to do this, but it was painful with the way they had that set up. So I don't know if it's this new battery system that they're talking about, if that would be more of an option.
Well, with the longer range, less stops for charging. That's, you know, number one. In summary, yes, I would love a $25,000 Tesla. I would love that. I hope that he can roll it out.
I would be okay, even like if it had 200 miles range. I think that's okay. I think in general, most people just day to day driving, that's plenty if they can charge from home or their apartment complex. Because I don't know about you, right? But I can't think of where a supercharger is next to me. And I keep my eyes open for that stuff all the time. Yeah. I know there's one in Wickenburg on the way to like Vegas.
Where are you located?
Tempe.
Okay. Yeah. I've got one just 5 minutes around the corner. It's the Biltmore, or it's Camelback Charger. I do lots of appearances there on YouTube. I'll go there just to watch people charge because I'm so fascinated.
And the Biltmore is a good example because they have regular chargers inside the parking garage. They have little charging stations, but not for a Tesla. If you want a Tesla, you got to go outside like an animal. But if you don't mind parking in the garage,
it's got solar panels on the roof. And it's like beautifully offset. I mean, the setup is amazing, I think.
No, the Biltmore might be the fanciest area inside the city of Phoenix. Like Cave Creek and Paradise Valley and stuff like that destroy in terms of up-classedness. But in Phoenix proper, the Biltmore might be the nicest area, or in that general touching area.
However, I would like to note that the Camelback Biltmore charger is an urban charger. It's not a supercharger.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
How many of them do they have there? They have like 6 or 7 there, right?
I think 12 or 16, 12. Yeah,
I know there's a row right next to the parking garage.
And I know this specifically because my friend Jay, who is a Model 3 Standard Range Plus owner, was doing an experiment on whether or not the Urban Charger share electricity between two vehicles. Spoiler alert, they do. So, and you're charged by kilowatt hour, no, sorry, charging time versus the amount of energy that's delivered. So it's a slower charge. And then if somebody pulls up next to you or, for example, 1A stall and then 1B stall may not be next to one another, but they share a charge. They share electrical current. So it's interesting.
That is interesting. Honestly, I would have thought that that area would have had the best supercharger that you could get.
Right. You would think, and I'm sure that eventually it'll be upgraded, but it was, they needed a charger there. So they put Urban Chargers there for now.
You know, what's weird is that even in the Kierland Commons, which is also another upscale mall in Arizona and Scottsdale, they don't have superchargers as far as I know.
They're Urban Chargers. And there's only 8 of them, I think. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. 8. Yeah. Which.
What's going on with you, Tesla? Like, this is your wheelhouse.
That parking lot. Right across the street, I believe, in Scottsdale Quarter, I believe there are superchargers. I haven't seen it, but...
There might be some inside that, again, another indoor parking mall or covered parking.
Which is not animalistic, according to you.
No, no. Like, can you imagine the little old ladies that go to the Biltmore to hang out in the dog park and drink coffee and buy really expensive things? Like, that's a... That's a walk. Where
they're not going to be driving a Tesla.
I used to work in at the Apple store, like right next to there, for like a week before they opened up the one on Bell. And those little ladies would come in, and the old men would be like, "I want the best Apple you can get." And you're like trying to get them to like an iMac, and they're like, "No, I want that one." And they want the $5,000 Mac Pro, and the cheese grater one, the old one.
Yeah,
because it was like a long time ago, and you're just like, you'll never use any of this. Like, no, that's what I want. So you ship them out the door with a $7,000 computer with a monitor that they'll never use.
They worked their whole life, and then now they must spend, I guess.
No, but I'm just saying. I'm sure some of those people. There was an old at the Safeway, somewhat close to my house. There was a little lady who was loading her grandkids into a brand new Model X.
Really?
Yeah, and she looked in her early 70s, so I shouldn't say little old lady because that's offensive, but she looked to be in her early 70s.
I'm going to make a hasty generalization here.
Yeah.
It was not her car. It was likely the children's parents' car.
Maybe. I will. If I see her again, I'll ask her.
They picked up the kids. Yeah, if you see her again, ask her.
And I say, excuse me, Betty, can you come here for
Betty,
a second?
Gertrude, excuse me?
Yes,
is
Ethlyn,
which is
my grandma's name.
Did you ever make a dance? What was your grandma's name?
Ethlyn.
Mine was Evelyn.
Yeah? Yes. My son's best friend, her name is Evelyn.
Mm-hmm. It's coming back.
Yeah. Did your grandma used to pinch you? Because that's what she does to my son. She pinches him and sometimes hurts him.
Yeah.
Oh.
My whole family did that. I still have chubby cheeks, but they would pinch my cheeks. They'd be bright red. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Abuse. Let's talk about production hell. So Tesla went through production hell with Model Y in 2017, which we have researched live on the show. The issues the issues Tesla had getting Model 3 production going, they're well documented, and we're not going to go over that again, but they ended up removing a lot of robots and then adding a lot of the manual workforce back. So Monroe believes that Tesla's vertical integration, which basically means like owning the majority of the supplies and technology that goes in your vehicle. So Tesla's, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, or maybe even last week, where Tesla's buying all this stuff to make their own batteries, even their own solutions, their own catalysts, that kind of thing. That's what vertical integration means. So Tesla purchases these companies that build, you know, the robots that build the cars, that kind of thing. So he thinks that that is critical and puts Tesla 10 years ahead of other auto manufacturers. Now, I'm going to try and read his quote here.
So, you're talking about Sandy, right?
Sandy's quote, yes.
Okay.
And we'll see how this goes. So what Tesla's done is cranked up its out a product that's probably 90 to 95% there. I would agree with that. But they've got so many ways of investigating what's going on in each car all the time that the feed each car all the time that the feedback can say, hey, what I think what we should do is X. Let's make that engineering change and implement it in vehicles from here going forward. That's what that's why vertical integration is preferred in this situation. So I'm not going to read the rest of the quote because I don't know if anything else goes on there. But I do think that Tesla is 90 to 95% of the way there. I do think that extra 5 to 10% is going to be not only critical, but extraordinarily difficult for them to achieve. Not because Tesla's not capable, but because the last 5 to 10% of anything is generally the hardest part if you're trying to succeed. And the goalpost keeps moving too, as you come up with new ways to improve it. That's great. And then while you're researching that, you find out something that's even better. And that's now 10 to 15% away. So that the goalpost keeps moving. So what are your thoughts on production hell and Tesla being ahead of its competitors?
I mean, there's no question about it being ahead of its competitors. I'd say even more than 10 years, but depending on patents and if other vehicle manufacturers are able to not reinvent the wheel ish, you know, legally, right, then maybe 10 years is good. But I would say the quality assurance, quality control, QAQC, right now is to be expected at the level of that it is. I've had people on YouTube or on Twitter comment on my Tesla posts or videos and say, I would love to buy a Tesla, but it's like, but what? Quality control it's not a perfect vehicle, but neither is a Volkswagen Jetta or my Hyundai Kona or, you know, which is fine. I'm trying to think.
While you're thinking, I go back all the time. Like, I have never bought a car from a dealership that I didn't have to take it back to get something fixed on it. Ever.
Yeah. It's a vehicle, an automobile is designed to appeal to a broad range of, you know, people, lifestyles, that kind of thing. They're not designing it for Bodie or Jessica, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a 5-10%, 15-20-30%, you know. I feel that they're cranking cars out, which is exactly what I feel the shareholders expect. Elon has made promises.
Yeah.
They need to deliver. That he can't not deliver. He can't not deliver that. But upon probably the Cybertruck release, I feel that they might take a step back because they've done so much in 10 years. Think about it. We're 2020. Is the Model S really released in 2012?
I think it was 2010 that the model. I think 2010 is when the Roadster was released.
Oh, the Roadster. That's right.
But yeah, you have a very good point of how far they went from a car that I wouldn't say it was barely functioning, but
it was expensive and it was, you know, not great with battery and range and recharge. And, now that very first production vehicle is in space. You know what I mean? Like, who would have thought when the Roadster was released that, you know, fast forward 10 years and then there'd be one floating in space. Like, oh, it's just a, you know, just a, that was prototype. Elon's personal vehicle. I think that they are moving so fast and acquiring all of these companies, battery companies, lithium mining companies, as with any company, you scramble in the beginning, you scramble, and hurry up and wait. And now they're meeting production. They are delivering on their promises. So they have the Cybertruck and the Semi to produce and the ATV, right?
ATV.
But I think that, in my opinion, that in between the Cybertruck and the Semi release, I feel like they're good for a long time. Even if the Model 2 or Model Dose or Model Cheap isn't produced or designed right away, they're good. Sexy cars. It's already been spelled out. What are they going to do? An exclamation point?
I think you may have hit on it.
Just saying. An airplane is what I'm hoping for. An electric aircraft. And Elon said, maybe I'll design one on Twitter like a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I just jumped on it. He loves jets.
Yeah. Okay. So I looked it up while you were talking, and it was the Roadster came out in 2008. And I think you're right. The Model Y or Model S came out in 2012. So if you look at the Roadster, which it was zero in 2008, it was 0 to 60 in 3.7 seconds.
That's insane.
If you got the high end one. Yeah. That's their first car. And then the 2012 Model S, the technology was significantly better than the thing that came out in the Tesla Roadster.
Day and night. Yeah. What is that? Five years? Right?
Yeah.
Five? Yeah.
Four?
No.
Four-ish.
4 years. The Roadster was unveiled. I started taking orders, or it was delivered?
It was delivered in 2008, and they delivered them all the way up to 2012, which I'm guessing.
And there were how many? 250? Or how many were there?
Oh, 1,000? How many?
$2,500.
Oh, okay. Plus. Yes. I bet you they'll sell more of the new Roadster by far than,
oh, yeah,
than this thing.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that you're right. In the breakneck speed that they've had to go to get to this point, it's probably okay if they take a breath.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked a little bit about Nikola Motors, but like they kept announcing more and more and more things. I'm like, dude, just do one thing
just
and
stop.
Get it done.
Just, yeah.
One thing, do Focus. It really well.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do one thing.
And have all these things planned for the future, but produce one thing first. And
one.
You can you can still work on that stuff in the background, but
yeah. Hype.
Yeah.
Build Lots up. Of
I still want that company to succeed because I know, well, no is a strong word. I've talked to several people that, not Trevor, but I talked to several people that work for the company, and they are wonderful, very nice people, and I don't want to see anybody lose their job or their stock. Because these people were promised something, I want them to get that promise fulfilled for sure.
I definitely don't want to see anybody lose money or their job. However,
go on.
Anybody that works for Nikola, in my opinion, will be hired somewhere else immediately. My opinion.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't want to. Oh gosh. Do you think that that's going to continue? You think it's going to go through?
You know what? If they have a solid, see the Diesel brothers or whatever those guys are, I don't have anything specifically against them, but I'm not a fan of their page, I guess. So are they're, I'm not a fan of the way they do things. And I don't have any specific reason why. It's just that it doesn't hit for me.
They just rub you the wrong way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate them, but it just doesn't hit the right way for me. But when it was announced that they were partnering with them, I was like, okay, well, in one way, I'm not super excited about that. But in another way, those guys do know what they're doing. Like, they got into some trouble with, like, illegally modifying some vehicles, I guess.
Are we talking Nikola? Or?
No, the Diesel guys. Brothers. I can't remember what their YouTube thing is called. But, and if I'm confusing them with somebody else that does something similar, then please let me know. But so just in general, it was like, that partnership could have probably been better. But the Nikola Badger, the whole idea of the Nikola Badger, I think is a good idea. The problem with producing hydrogen is right now you have to get it from natural gas, which means if you want it in any sort of volume, which means that it's terrible for the environment. But if you can break it from water, then which is way less yield and way more energy consumption, if you can use renewable energy and break it from water, then you're in good shape. And right now we're just not in that place where we can do that yet. But I don't think it'll be too far before we are. And Nikola's not the only one working on hydrogen semi-trucks either.
I'm going to politely disagree with your...
Oh.
Know that? I politely disagree with the concept of breaking it from water, only because water is such a precious resource, especially in Arizona, where their, you know, where their factory is being built. But yeah, the energy required is tremendous. And the storage required on site at one hydrogen refueling station, which they don't have any except for at the headquarters, but it is still not, they don't have the equipment there to create the hydrogen, as far as what I've read.
They bought one, maybe I want to say one or four, I can't remember exactly. They bought this big, giant, really expensive machine to be able to break hydrogen away from water. And you're 100% correct. Like, water is a resource that we definitely need. And they need to have some sort of, like, instead of letting the water, after it's been converted from hydrogen to water, we need something other than just letting it roll out the tailpipe. That's not a very good solution. There needs to be some way of recollecting that water. I don't know exactly how you would do that, but recollecting the water, and maybe when you fill up the next time, it takes the water out, puts the new hydrogen in. I don't know how exactly how that whole thing would go. But there, that's a very valid point. And Nikola, I'm not specifically, not specific to them so much, is just in general, I'm pro more technology out there. Even if it only works to a certain level, like at some point, maybe 15 years down the road, somebody will take that research and build something better. And that's really what it comes down to.
I completely agree with that. Yes.
Yeah. But you're right. The whole storage thing with hydrogen, even if you generate it on site, I did a series of episodes on this, but you lose so much hydrogen getting it from breaking it away from the water and then storing it. And then you lose it storing it to getting it to the car. And then you lose it when it's in the car to transmission, you know, to transition to over that catalyst into fuel and then to turn it into water. It's like it's significant every step, and they need to fix those inefficiencies. Mm-hmm.
I do think it, you know, as an alternative to battery electric vehicles, I think it's great for semis, for long distance driving. Isn't it supposed to be better or more efficient? I don't know much about the technology.
use it for straight up, like Toyota has some straight up hydrogen cars. I don't know that they have a battery. And if they do, maybe it's very small. I think what Nikola wanted to do was it had the hydrogen powered a generator, which charged the batteries. So it kind of had more of a hybrid. Now, I could be wrong on that, and I might be mistaken, but I think that's what their initial plan was to use that generator to charge the batteries to keep it going for longer.
Hmm. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. That would be why it's called a hydrogen powered battery fuel.
Oh my gosh, there's so many acronyms out there
right now. HBEV, HPF. I have to look it up almost every time.
No, I'm going to send you a link because Kyle Field of Clean Technica just...
Thank you, Kyle Field.
He just posted, like, here's all the things that you need to know. Here's all the acronyms, basically.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Because I have to look it up, too. Like, you would think you would know what a BEV is, but I'm like, I don't know what a BEV is. No,
I'm like, a beverage? Who's talking about beverages here? You know, like.
Yeah. No, we have BEVMO. Battery electric. Is that what you mean? BEVMO?
BEVMO. Yeah, that's another one.
Let me see if I can find it here because I just saw it this morning. Okay, so I'm going to send it. It's, make sure if I'm going to credit somebody. Remember how I told you if I can't say somebody's name, I just don't? I'm going to try to pronounce this. Martin Winkhuizen. Hoizen. I'm going to put it in the chat, and then you can give it a try.
I'll give it a go. Thank you, Clean Technica. Yeah, Martin Winkhuizen. Martin Winkhuizen. Please correct us.
Okay. Okay, you want to hear what Martin's profile says?
What?
We are way off the rails. Okay. Martin Winkhuizen, grumpy old man. The best thing I did with my life was raising two kids. Only finished primary school, but when you don't go to school, you have lots of time to read. I switched from accounting software development and ended my career as a systems integrator and architect. My 2007 boss got two electric Lotus Elise transportation, and I have been looking to replace my diesel cars with electric vehicles ever since, and putting my money where my mouth is. I've bought Tesla shares and intend to keep up with them until I can trade them in for a Tesla car.
That's what a lot of people are doing.
So I'm a fan of Martin.
Good man. Thank you, Martin.
I'll put this article in the show notes if anybody else wants to read about all of the different abbreviations that are out there. Or not abbreviations, acronyms.
Acronyms. We've got FFB, ICE, ICE-B, HEV, FEV, BEV, PEV, HFS, A segment, B segment, C segment, D segment, E segment, F segment. And that's the end.
Yeah, so a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle is an HSCV. I don't know if that includes... Does that include the battery on that one?
S-C-V. S-F.
It's at the end of that vehicle powertrain section before the classifications.
Oh, yeah. Hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. High frequency... capacitance voltage. What?
Yeah. No, it's easy to get the whole acronym jumble. It's easy to get confused in this whole thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about India.
Have
you ever been to India?
I have not. And I would like to visit India.
It's one of the places, like New Zealand is the next out of the country travel that we do, hopefully, if I can get my wife to agree. We have to go to Italy because we had 25 years. We're going to go back for our 25th anniversary. But it was supposed to be this year, but, you know, pandemic. But
pandemic. Yep.
New Zealand and India are on my list because, first of all, I love Indian food. I met several Indian people in my life, and they are the most hospitable group of folks. Yes. And just the culture and all that stuff. But Tesla Club IN, which I'm going to guess it stands for India, that Twitter account asked Elon on Twitter if Tesla employees were working toward entering the Indian market. If so, is there a way for us reservation holders to contact them? Which I don't, there's no reservation holders as yet, but our Tesla accounts do not have any customer care details as we are unable to select India as a country option. So maybe they are, there's reservation holders in different countries. For someone to actually purchase a Tesla and import it to India, the taxes and fees would double the price of the car, which is nuts. And that doesn't include actually shipping the car. So that's just a really expensive proposition. So Elon responded on Twitter that Tesla will release the online configurator probably in January. So I think that India has the second highest population out of any other country in the world, second only to China. So this is obviously a place where Tesla wants to operate. And it's an emerging market on top of all that other stuff. What are your thoughts?
It's well, fun fact. Should I Google this when I closed it? The population of India as of 2018. No, I went 2020. 1.38 billion people. Billion people. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Second to China. I mean, what? That's a lot of drivers. What are my thoughts? I think that the import taxes, duties, fees, obviously they'll have to work that out because that's not practical. I was honestly surprised, to be honest. Where did you go? I lost you.
Right here.
There you are. Okay. Too many tabs open. I was surprised before jumping on Twitter this morning or yesterday. Tesla India came up. I clicked on the links you sent over. And I was surprised that it wasn't existing, that they weren't for sale there yet. So, are there other enormous countries where Tesla is not for sale yet?
India actually has a really interesting approach to foreign companies that are doing business in India. They have to have the product to get around these fees. The product needs to be manufactured in India, and then a certain percentage of that product needs to come from Indian parts.
Smart.
And I know that India is currently, they're courting Tesla. I think Mumbai is where they would like them to set up operations, but I could be wrong
on
the
next
location. So I'm sure this whole thing will be worked out. One of the things, and I don't know, I know some things about India, but I don't know anything about India. I'll just throw that out there. I did have an Indian coworker once, and his job was to go around to estates, basically in the rural, or even just random places, houses. But he was basically a tax assessor. And there were times when he would have to use off-road vehicles to get to certain locations and things like that. Or boats for that matter. And he could never, he would show up and they would always have everything laid out for him because he could never sneak up on them because he was constant. People knew he was in the area. Just everything traveled very quick. News traveled very quick. So everything that he was supposed to be assessing that might be expensive was typically out of sight, but according to him, of the things that's really interesting is that, if Tesla goes this route, what kind of vehicles might they sell just in India versus, you can't have a model or you could a Model S in some, big city like Mumbai might be impractical because of traffic and the size of the vehicle and where you're going to park it. I know I've been to Bangkok several times, and Bangkok is, I wouldn't want to drive a Model S in Bangkok. I wouldn't want to try and park a Model S in Bangkok, let's put it that way.
I could see, I just Googled what's one of the most popular cars in India, and who knows, whoever has the best Google ratings, right? Mm-hmm. A Kia Sonet, Toyota Urban Cruiser, a Maruti, which looks like a Kia, is it a pickup truck? Suzuki. It's made by Suzuki.
Oh, okay.
They're all very small. And then a minivan.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of hatchbacks, small crossover vehicles. And then there's a pickup truck. I could see with the population that it is, there being something similar to what China does, as far as I know. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I know nothing. There be
a lottery for the ability to purchase and drive a vehicle. It's a lottery system because there's the population is enormous. I could see ride sharing being really big there if they don't have it already. That would probably be a really great market for Tesla. Turo, I don't know much about the company here in the United States other than I Googled rent a Tesla for a day or rent a Tesla, and Turo is the company that came up.
Rented a Model S off Turo.
There we go. It's personal, like it's somebody's personal vehicle rented to you for a day or however long. And I could see that kind of being a thing, like a ride, like timeshare, like Model S divided by 10 people. You can use it this day and this day or something like that.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
You know what? I have to take it back because now that I'm looking at this, there are a lot of large SUVs that are being sold in India, according to this car and bike website that I think we're both on.
Remember, whoever pays the Googles
gets
the Googles.
You're 100% correct. But in general, like I don't have any reason. None of this looks like it's too outside of the what would be considered the norm. And there's, I mean, these are full size vehicles, so it would.
Yeah.
In either case, I'd like to see what they're thinking in terms of design for India.
Yeah. China, Teslas are available for sale right now in China. So Shanghai,
the Model Y is just soon to go into production in China.
Yeah. So whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Good question, though.
I do know that in these large populated areas, anytime that we can get rid of an ICE vehicle and replace it with a electric vehicle to help with the pollution, that's a win.
Huge.
For sure. Right.
Yeah, I agree. So. Completely agree.
So, Jessica Gersh, without a C, thank you very much for being on the show. Thank you very much for, I mean, we've literally sat here and talked for 2.5 hours, only an hour and a half on the actual show, but, and five, I thought maybe five articles would be too little, but no.
Thank you for having me on. It's been such a pleasure.
Yes. And would you like to, and we should have done this maybe at the beginning, would you like to kind of tell people what you do and where to find you?
Yeah, I would love to. I am on, my primary outlet is YouTube. So I do a lot of videos on electric vehicles. SpaceX is near and dear to my heart, Tesla, other companies as well, Lucid, now Solo. I also do a lot of other shenanigans on my channel. So I encourage you to stop by, check it out. It is youtube.com/JessicaKirsch, JessicaKirsch, JessicaKirsch. Head over there, hit the subscribe button, punch it, kick it, you know, lick it if you want, whatever you want to do. You can always unsubscribe at a later date. It doesn't cost anything. I'm also on Twitter. And on Twitter, which is where we met, is at Jessica_Kirsch. And my last name is K-I-R-S-H. There's no C in it. Don't be tempted.
Yes. So I am going to go to your site. I am going to, I don't know if I subscribe or not. I'm going to do it right now.
And thank you.
I'm going to also, there's a section in the show notes, which are meticulous, I have to say.
That's cool.
My own little brag. Oh, why did it go there?
Somebody has to, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think anybody appreciates or looks at the show notes, but I try very hard to keep them organized.
They're very helpful for me. I'm reading them right now.
So I subscribed. And
thank you.
Yeah, there's a friends section or friends of the show. I can't remember exactly how we put it in there. But I'll put your link in there so people can just go to the show notes and then click on your link. And then that way they can get directly to your YouTube channel.
That sounds great. And we can discuss this later, but I would love to be able to post this on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you're open.
I am totally open to it. It doesn't record any of the video.
Oh, it doesn't?
Mm-mm.
I've got it recording on my end, I think. Yeah, it's still recording.
Okay. Yeah.
So we can totally discuss it.
If you would like to do that, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, cool. So,
excellent. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. And maybe you'll come back again sometime.
I would love to.
We maybe just limit it to one topic. I think we might be chatterboxes.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
For sure. All right. Thank you, Jessica.
Show. I want to thank
all right. Take care.
Listening and hanging out. I hope you got to know Jessica and like her. Go to her YouTube page, youtube.com/JessicaKirsch, K-I-R-S-H, not S-C-H, just S-H. And I'm also going to put a link in the show notes for Jessica's YouTube page. And I would love it if everyone who's listening to this podcast went to that page and showed her love and support, because that is what I'm trying to support in, you know, the EV community in general. And Jessica is a part of that community. And she's also now a friend of the show. So please, please, please go to her YouTube page and show her some love. If you would like to email me, please go to Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. You can also find me on Twitter, at 918digital. My DMs are open and I'm happy to chat. Whatever's on your mind, it doesn't even have to be about EVs. I was recently chatting with somebody about bluegrass festivals, which, by the way, I love bluegrass music. So if you have suggestions, let me know. All right, thank you again, and I will see you next week.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.